finally live, and we're recording both the video portion of this and the phone. Thank you for your patience this evening. Oh, if we were without flaws, it would be great, but we're not. Welcome to the call this evening. This is our Tuesday night celebration of life, an opportunity for us to come together and talk about those things that matter most. Tonight's one of my favorite topics. We've been talking about connecting with people, mental creation, physical creation, overcoming challenges with discipline and structure, finding joy in the journey, and tonight is self-esteem. I'd like to do self-esteem a little different than we've ever done it before. If you have a copy of the scrolls, I'm going to invite you to turn to scroll number 9. Scroll number 9. Now, usually we study scroll 4, I'm Nature's Greatest Miracle, specifically dealing with our own worth as an individual. But I want to ask you a question. And I've been pondering this through the day. We talked recently about the importance of taking action, doing the work of creation. That even in self-improvement, there are spokes to the hub. Spokes might be a DVD, a CD, a book, a seminar, a training, coaching. All of those are spokes leading to the hub of it. The hub being the work of creation. Those spokes help us do the work more effectively, more efficiently, with passion. Because we go through this hub to get to the actual creation of our dreams in tangible reality. It's a very interesting piece to know that no one is exempt from this. We don't get to skip the work of creation. We wouldn't want to skip the work of creation. Because tonight we're going to draw the parallel between that and self-esteem. And how being deeply engaged in that process actually heals us and our self-esteem. And then we eventually reach our mission, our target. I was having a wonderful conversation with my father this weekend. I used to think he was a tyrant because of the work schedule that we kept. And he shared with me this weekend a story that I had never heard before. He was sharing with me that at 6 a.m. he was in Rhode Island at Brown University working on a computer system. There was computer techs. Computer techs had been working on it for days, unable to solve the problem. My father was always the last line of defense, the last person. If he didn't fix it, it was over. System failed, and he would never allow that to happen. He epitomized Dorothea Brand's admonition that we act as if we cannot fail. What would be different if we did that? It would take us out of our inertia and frustration if we just acted as if we could not fail. And that's how he operated his life. He was sharing with me that day he reported back to the company, problem fixed. And they said, oh, good, because we've got a critical problem with a NASA computer in San Francisco. And they put him on an airplane, and 6 o'clock that night, he's there. He said, they ushered me into the facility, and everybody went home. They had to have this up and running the next day, and everybody went home. Why? Because quitting time had come. They were gone. He didn't know what that meant. His mission was to solve the problem. It wasn't about time. It wasn't about energy. It was the focus, and it drove his passion and his discipline, and he worked tirelessly. I know there were times he was probably exhausted, but by midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, that computer was fixed, and he got a memo from his boss that said, Tom's the only guy who can do 8 hours of work on both coasts in the same day. Now, that's a nice thing for his boss to see. What they eventually saw was that it wasn't about working 8 hours a day on two coasts. It was about solving two problems. Two problems. And doing whatever was required. My father learned more about himself and his own value when he was doing that work and solving those problems. I just want to pay tribute to him tonight. Didn't turn out he was a tyrant at all. He happened to be a marvelous teacher. Because he taught me one of the greatest healers of self-esteem. He taught me that it's easier to learn how to play to work. Sometimes we think of work as a four-letter word, and there are many who are trying to figure out how to teach us, and we are trying to learn how to create our dreams without doing the work. We want the spokes of the wheel to be the work. We want the fun stuff to be the work. The truth is that we get down in the trenches, roll up our sleeves, and do the work of creation. That's where things are created. What a great discovery. Og dedicated an entire scroll to this topic. And I would like to relate some of these pieces to self-esteem, because we all have challenges in self-esteem, and we know that those challenges can come from unmet expectations. We want something different than what's happening. And when it doesn't happen, we get frustrated with our lives, and as human nature, we turn inward, and we start questioning our own worth, and our own ability, and our own belief systems. That's the most common challenge for self-esteem. Another is that we can have some fragile underpinnings of trust disrupted through relationships or as a child through abusive situations, emotional, physical, sexual. And lastly, there can be inconsistencies between what we present to the world and our secret life. And when there's a difference between those two, just imagine that difference. I am pretending to be this, secretly I'm doing this, and the gap between those two creates confusion about who we are. And one of the great healers of self-esteem is action. Now, if you were to reduce our greatest needs, our desire for happiness and peace of mind, could we not all agree tonight that one of the things we would like to be is real and genuine and authentic, whole and complete, without any need to impress and pretend and feel shame and fear? For us to be comfortable in our own skin, at peace with our own lives, isn't that one of the ultimate goals and dreams that we all have? To be at peace. Oh, can you feel it? Oh, Og opened Scroll 9 after teaching us in Scroll 1 about habits, and then Scroll 2 about agape love, and Scroll 3 about persistence, and Scroll 4 about the fact that we are nature's greatest miracle in our appearance, in our ability, and our ability to step back from our own thought processes and be present in the now. And he goes on to talk about living in the now, living this day as if it is our last, controlling our emotions and laughing at the world and multiplying our value 100-fold. After he's taught us all these wonderful principles, he starts off Scroll number 9 with these words. And think about it tonight differently, perhaps, than ever before, because we think of dreams. Sometimes it's the house, it's the car, it's being without debt. And we'll want to ask ourselves, but why would we want that? Why would we want that? Okay, then why would we want that? And when we get to the common denominator of why we want those things, we get to peace of mind and happiness. Can you feel it? And Og says, my dreams, this dream we're talking about, it's worthless. My plans, I'm going to make this happen, are dust. My goals are impossible. All are of no value unless they're followed by action. That's a powerful statement. Now he takes it a step further and makes it very clear. Never has there been a map, however carefully executed to detail and scale, which carried its owner over 1 inch of ground. If we want to get from where we are to where we want to be, it's not our plan that gets us there. It's not the map that guides us there. It's not the clever book with all of the great ideas, including Og's or mine. Never has there been a parchment of law, however fair, which heart into these scrolls. He says, never has there been a scroll even such as the one I hold, which earned so much as a penny, or produced a single word of acclamation. Action alone is the tender that ignites the map, the parchment, this scroll, my dreams, my plans, my goals, into a living force. Great word. Action is the food and drink which nourishes, feeds me, that nourishes my success. Then he walks through a couple very powerful pieces that address the very things we've talked about in terms of the three causes of self-esteem. He starts off with procrastination. He says, my procrastination, which has held me back, was born of fear. Our goal is to be real and genuine and authentic without impressing, pretending, feeling ashamed, or fear. My procrastination, which has held me back, was born of fear. I've learned the secret. Mind from the depths of all courageous hearts. Core, heart of hearts. Core is blood or heart. So heart of hearts. If we go into the courageous heart and take a look, if we could mine the depths of that, we would find that every courageous heart has learned this one principle. They didn't get caught up in the spokes of life or the spokes of self-improvement. All of these are important. They got down into the depths and did the work of creation. And he says, Now I know. I've been writing about this. I've had some highly emotional moments in the last week or two. I've been reflecting on these very words and as they relate to self-esteem. It says, now I know that to conquer fear, I must act without hesitation, and the flutters in my heart will vanish. Conquer fear so I can be real and genuine and authentic. And then he says, and now I know. I love that. That action reduces the lion of terror to an ant of equanimity. Equanimity meaning peace of mind, that ultimate goal. Action creates that peace of mind. Now, I've shared with all of you, when we talk about physical creation, quality number three, that when we finally jump in and take on a task we've been procrastinating, we go, wow, that wasn't so hard. Wow, why did I wait so long? It's a great thing to know that that wow comes from the fact that in that moment, we have shut off all of our doubt and all of our fear and all of our shame. And we, the real me, the real you, shows up. We get a glimpse into our own potential. We get to know a little bit more about who we really are. Now, a lot of us have spent a lifetime of procrastinating, jumping in, being surprised, and then procrastinating, jumping in, and being surprised. If we want to heal self-esteem, we're going to want to jump in and take these things on and learn to feel our own natural genius. To be genuine genius means to embrace our own genius. It's not about ego. It's about being fully available. I am fully available with all of the skills and talents and gifts I've been given to serve another person. Because every time there's doubt and fear and shame, the real me, all of me, is not showing up, just a part of me. A part isn't going to help me really connect with who I am. So I shut off that noise and I show up. So that procrastination which has held me back, me, is born of fear. We want to conquer fear. We act without hesitation. Flutters vanish. Lion of terror turns into an ant of equanimity. source of healing. Then he shares one with us that could be missed, easily missed. I read this for a long time, many, many, many times, before the light, literally, turned on. Listen to this. Henceforth, I remember the lesson of the firefly, whose gives off its light only when it is on the wing. In other words, the light shines. That's very symbolic. The light shines only when it's in action. I will become a firefly, and even in the day, my glow will be seen in spite of the sun. Let others be as butterflies who preen their wings, yet depend on the charity of a flower for life. Og was always so political and so poetic in the way that he kicked us in the fanny. Remember when he said, with love I can soften all hearts, likening the sun whose rays soften the coldest clay? He could have said, soften all cold hearts. But he couched it in a way that we could feel a little bit more comfortable with it. Now he's saying to us, let others be as butterflies, preening their wings, laying around, doing very little, depending on something else to provide them with their nourishment. No, I'm not going to be that. I will be as the firefly, and my light will brighten the world. When we talk about mental creation and using our mind constructively, so we're in this space and we're connected with the force of creation itself, and we're inviting that force, which I call God, onto the stage of my mind to give me inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems that we know physiologically when they come will ignite parts of my brain I normally don't use. We are talking about receiving light, knowledge, wisdom, something beyond us, insight, clarity. And when we receive it, it ignites our passion. And we get so excited to create in tangible reality that which we've seen so clearly in our minds. But here's the secret. We don't get to see the light, and no one else gets to see it in our life unless we are in action. Now I'll share something with you I haven't before. I talk about being fully present in the now, or fully present in our mind, one or the other. Here, getting inspired ideas that bring that light into our life, shines a light of clarity, then coming into the now and starting the process of creating it. The third option is that dark dungeon over there of despair and discouragement. We don't want that choice. It's totally non-productive. I'm not sure the light of truth can even penetrate it. So present in our mind, or present in the now. I want to suggest to you that action occurs in both of those locations. Weak is he who allows his thoughts to control his actions. Despair, discouragement. Even before I'm captured by despair and discouragement, Og talks about in that paragraph. Strong is he who forces his actions to control his thoughts. It is the action of thinking constructively. That's a conscious action. Goal setting is action. If we're goal setting to ignite our passion that will drive our focus, discipline, effort, and action, that's a preparatory action. It's action. I'm choosing to think differently. I'm taking the action of thinking constructively. Mental rehearsal, inspiration, exploration, planning, goal setting, and problem solving. Now, can you start to feel the energy that I want to share with you tonight? Imagine how you start to feel about yourself when you receive an inspired idea or impression. I won't go into detail tonight, but last Tuesday night when we ended this call, I had one of those precious moments that guided Ramona and me to create a miracle in our life. A much needed one. It was marvelous. The most marvelous thing that came from that wasn't the end result. I was in action. The light was shining. A gracious God met me halfway and inspired me to take specific, very specific actions. 1, 2, 3. I could start to see the miracle unfold. When that night was over, my conversation with Ramona was about how glorious it felt to feel that inspiration, an inspired idea, an impression that came, and watching how that unfolded over the course of a night. It was miraculous. What does that do to one's self-esteem? When you pay the price to be in action, because I was in constructive thought, intentionally, when it came. How does it feel when you're practicing inspiration? If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. And we're actively engaged in that sacred process of abundance. How does it feel when you get one of those impressions? Something you would not have known. And you follow up and discover that person needed exactly what you were impressed to say or do. What does that do for your self-esteem? I would submit to you that when we are like the firefly and we are on the wing, and that light comes, and we know that we are known, we know that we are trusted, and we trust. That connection with the force of creation could in fact be one of the greatest, bless you sweetheart, could be one of the greatest gifts given to us to heal self-esteem. What matters? What could happen before the day ends that matters? If you know that. So you want to know who you are? You want to turn that line of terror into equanimity, to peace of mind? Could it be that one of the great secrets is to take action? I will not avoid the tasks of today and charge them to tomorrow, for I know that tomorrow never comes. It's always today. 10 years from now, it will still be today. Let me act now, even though my actions may not bring happiness or success, for is it better to act and fail than to act and flounder? Happiness in truth. Got that? Happiness. That thing which we seek, that dream, may not be the fruit plucked by my actions, yet without action, all fruit will die on the vine. Now as it relates to that third challenge, Dog says, I'll act now, I'll act now, I'll act now. Listen to these admonitions, putting back those basic building blocks of childhood that are missing when something happens to us as a child, about that guilt or shame that we might have about having a difference between how we present to the world and our secret behavior. Og writes, when I awake, I will say them and leap from my cot while the failure seeks to sleep yet another hour. Those of you who are following us on Facebook, and if you're not, just friend me, Dave Blanchard. I'll be happy to put you on my list of friends. Love to have you as a friend on Facebook. Ramon and I are tracking with you our little exercise program every morning with Insanity. And we just finished day 8, wasn't it? Day 8 today. How exciting. Cardio. Leap from our cot. 10 to 6. Boom. Up. Down. Do it. I will act now. It feels good. We did what we said we would do. When we do what we say we will do, there is a sense of accomplishment. You can't get it any other way. You can't get a reading a book. And I'm not, book, I love to read. You read the books to do. It's in the doing that you discover these principles. You can't discover them, feel them, as I shared with you a couple weeks ago. You can read about hitting the wall as a marathoner, but until you've run mile 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, and .2, you won't know. I have not done that. I do not know. I saw the look on Ramona's face. I could sense the exhilaration, the exaltation that she was feeling at the end. But I haven't experienced it. I don't know really what it feels like, other than vicariously. When I enter the marketplace, so it's in the morning, I will say them, which is, I will act now, I will act now, and immediately confront my first prospect while the failure ponders yet his possibility of rebuff. When we're thinking about, they don't like me, they won't like what I'm doing, can you hear the dialogue? All the dialogue is about what's wrong with me, what's wrong with what I'm doing, what's wrong with my approach. That's what the failure does. It spends all their time, all his or her time, on the rebuff. But August saying, I will just take the action and talk to the first person I can. And when I face a closed door, I will say them and knock while the failure waits outside with fear, there's that word again, and trepidation. I will act without hesitation. The flutters in my heart will vanish. I'll act now. When I face temptation, the difference between what I present to the world and those secret things I might be doing in private, whatever they might be, when I face the temptation to do that secret behavior, I will say to them, I will act now, I will act now, and immediately act to remove myself from evil. Someone wants to overcome an addiction. It's work. Nobody's going to do it for us, because in the moment of temptation, we will want to make a different decision. When we do, we break an addiction. When we don't, we're still mired in it. There is that point, that pivotal moment. We take the action and shift in a different direction, and again and again and again, we create a new habit. We break an old addiction. It's action. When I am tempted to quit and begin tomorrow, I will say them and immediately act to consummate another sale. I will act now. Now we talk about our value. Only action determines my value in the marketplace. And to multiply my value, that's how I feel about me, too, in the marketplace. I will multiply my actions. I will walk where the failure fears to walk. I will work when the failure seeks rest. I will talk when the failure remains silent. I will call on 10 who can buy my goods while the failure makes grand plans to call on 1. I have seen that repeated so many times. I'm going to make $1 million on this deal. And it never comes to fruition because all the time is spent in fantasy about what I'm going to do with the money once it comes in. The successful person has done 10 already. Sense of accomplishment, sense of accomplishment, sense of accomplishment, peace of mind, happiness. Can you feel it? I will say that it is done before the failure says it is too late. I will act now, for now is all I have. This is my reality, as Og said in Scroll 5. Tomorrow is the day reserved for the labor of the lazy. I'm not lazy. Tomorrow is the day when the evil become good. I'm not evil. Tomorrow is the day when the weak become strong. I'm not weak. Tomorrow is the day when the failure will succeed. I am not a failure. I will act now. And he closes with these thoughts. Because remember, the ultimate dream is to be happy. The ultimate dream is to have peace of mind. That may be why we want things. That may be why we want our debt paid off. No more stress or pain. We want to have peace and happiness. He said, when the lion is hungry, he eats. When the eagle has thirst, he drinks. Lest they act, both will perish. Now think about us and how we perish. I hunger for success. I thirst for happiness and peace of mind. That's why I want those things. Lest I act, I will perish in a life of failure, misery, and sleepless nights. And then this great line. This isn't the epitome of a healthy self-esteem. I, in quotation marks, I, the real me, I will command, and I will obey my own command. Real, genuine, authentic, enthosectic, acting on our own moral authority, doing the next right thing for the right reason. One of the foundations of a healthy self-esteem. I will command, and I will obey my own command. Real, genuine, and authentic. Success will not wait. If I delay, she'll become betrothed to another and lost to me forever. This is the time. This is the place. I will act now. And one of the primary reasons why I will choose to act is because I know when I act, I will receive light, inspired ideas and impressions that will guide me to do things passion-driven. I know that when I act, I will meet my own natural genius. I know that when I act, I am taking control of my own life, doing the next right thing for the right reason. I'm authentic. And I let go of the need to impress, because I don't need to take what little I have and make it seem bigger. It doesn't matter. I'm okay. I don't need to pretend that something is bigger than it actually is. Let it go. I'm okay. Fear, we crush with action. And shame, that sham which covers us and holds down our goodness and our ability. Remember, blame is when we feel bad about, or guilt, excuse me, is when we feel bad about what we've done. And shame is when we feel bad about who we are. This isn't who we are. We don't know who we are till we take shame off and we surface whole and complete. Well, I hope that's a compelling enough argument for why we're to be in action. You see, it's fascinating to me that the world wants to help us find an easy button, a way to visualize ourselves into abundance without going through this process, which refines us and which exposes weaknesses so we can take them off, so that we can show up, so that we can know who we really are and be connected with a power greater than ourselves, that which can only happen when we're actually... Why would we want to avoid this? Why? That's why an intentional creator doesn't want ease. Ease would be a waste of everything good about us. We want to engage. You hear these words from me often. Engage in life. Embrace these principles and dive in. Go to the spokes and get instruction, but come back and dive in and connect with people and serve them and create value everywhere we go. Like the story of my father. You see what happened? My dad was an engineer. He was with an aerospace company. Had a very modest retirement program, which he maximized, but it wasn't going to be enough for him to really enjoy retirement. Here he was, creating value everywhere he went, never tracking time or effort required. He had a mission. The mission was the focus. Whatever it took to create that, he did. He could see it clearly. Just as we can see and have that kind of passion. And one day he was called into the corporate headquarters and was awarded some handsome stock options. And that process repeated several times. The only engineer ever in the history of the company to get stock options. And when the stock soared, he sold. Now my dad lives down in St. George. He's not a wealthy man, but he has no debt and a fun home and a good car. And he can enjoy his life. I'm not sure that he will because he's busy spackling little cracks and doors in the house. He's got to have something to do. He loves to be productive, even at his age. But isn't that great? The cream does rise to the top. If we are going to heal self-esteem. I could tell you the rest of that story, but I hesitate to. Because he had a really challenged self-esteem. He told me the story on Saturday. I did not know this one. But he was out in the field with his grandfather, my great-grandfather, Asa Blanchard. And back in those days, they didn't have hay balers. At least he didn't own one. Grandpa. Great-grandpa. So they would use pitchforks and they would pitch up the hay up onto a wagon. My dad told me that they put rocks in his pockets so he could weigh a little bit more to stomp down the hay so they could maximize the load on the wagon. And they would take it back to the barn and pitchfork it into the barn. That's what they fed the cattle with during the course of the year. And he said one day, grandfather put a pitchfork of hay up on the tractor and stopped. He said, Tom, that's my dad's name. Do your very best in everything that you ever do. He said he heard that a number of times. Remembers that one. He said it finally stuck at 16. He says, I don't know where I'd be without that. I don't know where I'd be. Now, in the chapter of the book I'm working on, I'll be giving you some ways to learn how to work. Because some of us were blessed with people in our lives who taught us how. And now we're facing an economy and a world where what we used to do doesn't work as well or at all. We could be struggling with mortgages and car payments and feeding our families. Really challenges. I share with you some ideas for how to get past being stuck and surrendering all the principles we've talked about and six qualities of an intentional creator so that you can be in action, so that you can be connected with the force of creation. Because if we spend our time on our knees pleading to God to rescue us, He can't give us what we're asking for until we're in action. Until we're in action. closely with about 3,500 coaching clients over the last 10 years. It has been the highlight of my career. I can't think of anything I would rather do than to be one-on-one or in a small group with people who are taking on their lives and being totally present with them. Because when I'm there, I'm just pleading through the process. I'm in action. How can I present this in a way that they could grasp it? How could we talk about this perhaps differently? In fact, the discussion of discussing Scroll 9 tonight came in that very space today, in action. In that privilege, I have been greatly concerned about the condition of people's self-esteem, how they value themselves. And so many have been instructed to look inward to find the answers. And they peel away layers of the onion and layers of the onion. It's just been my experience. I don't need to be right. It's just my experience that when people turn inward for those answers, they just dig a deeper hole. So if you find yourself in one, stop digging. You won't find them going in here. You'll find them taking your life experience and finally making sense out of it by engraving it on your heart. The very first quality, we'll be talking about this in detail next week, that when we engrave it on our heart and then we say, I wonder if anyone else is having this experience, and we shift from a victim mentality where we're dragging our life experiences, woe is me, no one knows how much I'm suffering, to I wonder if anybody else is suffering, and could I use this experience to better understand where they are so that they can know that I know where they are. Create a safe place for them to let their walls down so their cooperation and productivity can flood out so that we can do marvelous things together. This is perhaps one of the other great healers of self-esteem. Shifting our focus from self to others when we're in action. We don't lose. We actually receive that which is behind the wall. Now, there may be some who have an absolute empty well. And it's very hard to give from an empty well. So there may be a moment where you'll want to step back. Take a good look at your life. And each time we talk about self-esteem, I spend most of the time on this topic. Just a moment tonight. It is important that we become conscious of where we are in our life. Our mind can take us so vividly to other places, other homes, other lives. Can take us to being skinny and fit and then wanting to spend time there in our mind. I know that one. And we start to run into some serious challenges. Because the work of creation has a requirement, basic requirement, and that is that we know ourself and that we choose us. Choose us. I've got two dear friends, both quadriplegics. They have done unbelievable things with their lives. Unbelievable. Because they have taken the clay they've been given. Can you imagine how frustrating it would be to not be able to use your body? To have to put your shirt on with hooks? Spend an hour and a half just getting dressed? Exhausting just to get through the day. But to do all of that with excitement because you're going to serve others. Can you imagine? This is my clay. It takes an hour and a half to get dressed. So I'm not going to spend any more time resenting it, resisting it, being frustrated by it. Why? It takes an hour and a half to get dressed. That's life. So our credit cards are maxed. So your home mortgage is in trouble. So? Okay. let's stop spending time in resistance and resentment because we miss the opportunity to heal our self-esteem because we accept the clay we've been given. We know it. And then we accept it. Because we can't begin the healing of self-esteem until we do. Because the healing comes in the creation, doing the work of. But if we keep trying to pretend or think or act like we're somebody other than we are, even though we may be doing work, it's not going to be healing. It's not who we are. Let us own our clay and maximize the clay we've been given. Because we can start to have those experiences of inspiration and motivation and ideas that can help guide us to do it even better. We can start to recognize some things within that clay we had forgotten about. I could get emotional. Saturday, I remembered something about my father I haven't thought about for 35 years. More than that. 45 years, maybe. Because I was in action, acting on an inspiration. I was writing. I felt inspired just to call my dad. Ramona was out pulling weeds, and I think I need to be out helping her pull weeds. I've got all this stuff. But I followed the inspiration. Amazing conversation. But the gift came after. I returned to writing. I told Ramona, come out to pull weeds. She says, no, you get in and you write. I can pull weeds. You don't need to pull weeds. Please go in and write. And it was in that moment the gift was given. I had a vision, a memory. It actually happened. I'm 14 years old, Alabama. You can drive a motorcycle when you're 14 if it's governed down to a 90cc. It's my birthday, and here comes my dad in a red helmet on a blue Honda 150 Dream, the big fairing wheel wells, and a red seat. And he was giggling like a teenager. I'd forgotten that. I've spent years trying to get over some frustration in that arena. And that one moment healed some of my esteem. I saw my dad differently, and in seeing him differently, I saw myself differently. We want to own our clay. Because if we keep wanting something different, oh, if my parents would have only done this, or only my wife or husband would have done that, or my children only would have done that, we miss all the gifts. I've shared with you before that when we own our own clay, the force of creation, God, can actually give us more clay. Well, Saturday, I was given some clay I owned that I had forgotten about. It was like getting more. It really was. It was like getting more clay. I've shared that with you personally. Maybe I shouldn't have. But I want you to reflect on your own life. How many of those precious moments between a husband and a wife, committed companions, children, may we have forgotten in the stress and strain of life because we want something different than we have. And we miss some of the pieces of clay that are really sweet and tender. I know that as I own mine, there'll be more, as there will be with yours. And when you maximize your ability and God gives you more clay, imagine what that does to your esteem. We are expected to be whole and complete, real and genuine and authentic, to embrace our own goodness. Because until we do, we cannot, forgive the reference, if it offends any, I don't mean it to, We cannot love our neighbor as ourself. We are not available to love. My neighbor could be my wife. It's anyone other than yourself, your children, somebody across the street, someone in need. How can we fully see their needs if we've got dialogue going on in our head? This demeaning, discouraging, full of doubt and fear. So in closing tonight, I submit to you that perhaps one of the single greatest healers of our self-esteem is to be about the work of creation. This is God's playground. That's when He can go to work, when we choose to. Well, enjoy this week. Take this on. Find joy in being active and productive. Take on some of those things you've been putting off and see what it feels like to get them done and off your plate. Dive into those things you're afraid to do. Most of us are afraid, and then we go into, I need to do more improvement, I need to do something. No, we just need to take action, because you can do as much of this, and it's not going to solve the problem until we take action. Because we want to conquer the fear, we act without hesitation, and the flutters in our heart will vanish. We'll turn that line of terror to an ant of equanimity, to peace of mind. Let us go into the playground where we can grow. It's called the work of creation. Perhaps the only place we can really heal our self-esteem. Well, thanks, everybody. It's so good to have you with us. Next week, we're going to start with connection with people. Walls of Resistance. If you've got your studio, listen to Walls of Resistance this week, and Empathy, Intuition, and Intrinsic Validation Part 1 and 2. Might be an hour worth of listening this week. Take it off the computer, download it to your MP3 player, and listen so that we can take these principles on this next week. And let's take them on from this perspective. Many of you are cycling back through these principles. Let's cycle back now and go learn how to connect with people with not only intent of serving, but healing. Serving and healing. So we can have a great experience.